Good evening, everyone. John Curdy here, coming to you from the Thumb Broadcasting Newsroom, and this news update is brought to you by Sanilac County Medical Care Facility. Robert Cooper Smith appeared in court for his arraignment on a misdemeanor charge of operating while intoxicated. The case heard by Judge Ferris involves an amended charge from an original count of operating while impaired. Prosecutors noted the amendment was necessary because Cooper Smith's prior conviction occurred outside of Michigan. Cooper Smith entered a plea of not guilty. The court set a plea cutoff hearing for September 3, 2026. Judge Ferris maintained the existing bond at $4,500, 10%. As a condition of that bond, Cooper Smith is prohibited from possessing or consuming alcohol and controlled substances. He is also barred from entering establishments that serve alcohol, such as bars and restaurants, and must submit to random testing through pretrial services. And Tyler Avery Masterson appeared in Huron County's District Court to face multiple felony charges. Judge Julian Ferris presided over two separate cases involving allegations of methamphetamine possession. In the first matter, Masterson is charged with felony possession of methamphetamine and a civil infraction for speeding. In the second case, he faces an additional felony possession charge and a bond violation stemming from positive drug tests and a failure to appear in court. Judge Ferris set bond at $5,000 cash surety. Conditions of release include mandatory drug and alcohol testing, a prohibition on entering establishments where alcohol is served, and potential electronic monitoring. Masterson will be represented by court-appointed attorney Elizabeth Weisenbach. A bond violation hearing and probate cause conference are scheduled for July 13th with a preliminary examination set for August 7th. And David Jason Hale appeared in Huron County District Court to face an amended charge of operating while intoxicated, second offense. Hale entered a plea of not guilty to the misdemeanor charge. Ferris set bond at $3,500 on personal recognizance, with conditions prohibiting Hale from possessing or consuming alcohol or controlled substances. The court-appointed attorney Martin Porzendek to represent Hale for the remainder of the case. A plea cutoff hearing is scheduled for September 3rd at 10 a.m. When we come back from this Sanilac Medical Care Facility sponsor message, we'll get to our national, international news, and your obituaries.
When summer arrives, routines shift, families stay busy, and time seems to move a little faster. During these moments, it's important to know that reliable care and support are available when health needs arise. After surgery, illness, or hospital stay, recovery doesn't end at discharge, and the right environment can make all the difference. I'm Melissa, Admissions Director at Sanilac Medical Care Facility. At Sanilac Medical Care Facility, our rehabilitation services are structured, attentive, and guided by skilled nursing and therapy professionals. Each care plan is tailored to the individual with goals focused on improving strength, mobility, and daily function. Families can feel confident knowing their loved one is cared for close to home with clear communication and dependable medical oversight. And when short-term recovery becomes a longer-term need, we continue providing skilled nursing care in a setting centered on stability, comfort, and respect. This summer, choose a place that understands healing and the families behind every decision. Call 810-648-3017 or visit sanilacmedicalcare.com, because your loved ones deserve the best.
And we're back in the Thumb Broadcasting Newsroom. Again, my name is John Curdy, continuing with our national news. Senate panel advances nomination for Director of National Intelligence. By a narrow 9-8 vote, the Senate Intelligence Committee has advanced Jay Clayton's nomination to serve as the nation's next Director of National Intelligence. The vote cleared the crucial committee threshold despite intense questioning regarding foreign policy oversight and Intelligence Modernization. The nomination now moves to the full Senate floor for a final confirmation vote scheduled for later this week. Leadership remains confident that they have the votes needed to confirm Clayton before the upcoming congressional recess. In other national news, Democratic Party leaders are meeting this week to formally weigh changes to the 2028 presidential primary schedule. Early proposals aim to shuffle early voting states once again to better reflect diverse voter demographics and prioritize key battlefield regions across the country. State party chairs are lobbying heavily to retain their historic early positions on the calendar. A preliminary vote expected by Friday could set off months of intense internal debate ahead of the next election cycle. And then our international news. Flash flood claims 23 lives in mountainous eastern Afghanistan. Devastating flash floods triggered by unseasonal torrential rain swept through mountain villages in eastern Afghanistan, leaving at least 23 people dead and dozens missing. Search and rescue crews are digging through mud and collapsed stone dwellings in a desperate bid to locate survivors. Emergency medical teams face massive hurdles reaching remote valleys due to destroyed bridges and blocked roadways. Humanitarian agencies are appealing for immediate supplies of clean water, shelter, and medical kits for displaced families. In other international news, Australian government faces pressure over citizens detained in Iraq. A political firestorm has erupted in Canberra as lawmakers debate the fate of 13 Australian nationals currently held in Iraqi detention centers. Among those requesting government assistance to return home is a Perth-born medical doctor previously linked to extremist groups in Syria. Opposition figures are demanding strict temporary exclusion orders to block returns on national security grounds. Federal ministers reiterated that Australia will not provide travel assistance or passports to individuals affiliated with foreign terrorist organizations.
And we do have your obituaries for today. Francis Kasiba, on July 18th, passed away. Francis Josephine was born on December 15th, 1922. She is survived by her daughters, Mary and Sandy, her grandsons and great-granddaughter, and her sisters. Visitation for Fran's final goodbyes will be on Wednesday, July 22nd, beginning at 10 a.m. until Mass of Christian Burial at 11:30 a.m. at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Rapson, following a walk with Fran to her final resting place at the church cemetery. In lieu of flowers or mass offerings, you can generously donate to St. Thomas Aquinas Outreach Mass, OLLH Catholic School in Harbor Beach, or the St. Joseph Catholic Church Cemetery in Rapson Fund. Arrangements have been handled by the Ramsey Funeral Home of Harbor Beach. You can share your memories with the family at RamseyFH.com. And Patricia Ann Emming, age 88, passed away Thursday, July 2nd. Pat was born on July 26, 1937, in Bad Axe. Pat married Raymond B. Emming on April 28, 1956. She is survived by her brothers, along with many nieces and nephews. A graveside service will take place at Sacred Heart Cemetery Sunday, July 26th at noon. Arrangements are being handled by the Ramsey Funeral Home of Harbor Beach.
For the complete news stories, weather obituaries, and more, visit thumbnet.net. From the Thumb Broadcasting Newsroom, I'm John Curdy, and that news update was brought to you by Sanilac County Medical Care Facility.